You don't want to just twink repair a fucking typewriter?
Yes, I do. Like a news guy looks like a broke-ass Joe Buck.
Please, something work.
Are you okay? Is this your first day?
Here we go. Fucking suck my nuts.
New this morning, we're bringing you a little taste of nostalgia. Remember those typing apparatuses we used to use well before the...
Get it? Typing apparatus.
Yeah. You know what? That was poorly written, by the way. I remember the old Stephen Wright joke? I had the world's oldest typewriter. Typed in pencil.
Computer came along, something my grandmother was really good at. That would be the good old typewriter. Yeah.
Click, click, click. White.
It's the same typing, cunt. It's the same typing. You didn't type any differently just because you got a laptop, you fucking numbskull. Oh,
fucking stupid vapid twat.
Oh, you fucking... Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Let me tell you something. She's got some
fucking monsters.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
This dumb coos has got some stupid feeders on her. Man, oh, man.
BC Action News reporter Vanessa Ariza sat down with someone who's trying to bring them back to life, and he is not the person that you would expect.
Uh-huh. These are the ones I keep. These are the ones I really, you know, don't want to sell.
Jack Armstrong, maybe 16 years old, but this teen has quite the old soul.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorites to type on.
He looks like he ought to leave here and then go, you know, film the video for Friday I'm in Love with that fucking hairstyle. Good
Lord. I was thinking
more
Flock of Seagulls. You can go fuck yourself.
He's 70. He's still doing his hair like that? Fucking Robert Smith.
Dude, that's...
Please tell me he's not still doing that.
Oh, you've not seen?
No, is he still doing it?
It's sad. It really is sad. It really is disgusting.
All right, let's take a look.
Oh, close your eyes.
All right. They're closed. You know, the last time...
It really is gross.
You know, the last time someone said close your eyes, I ended up with a sticky surprise in my mouth.
Close your eyes.
All right, fair enough.
See, okay, go ahead.
That was a mouthfuck joke. Oh, for God's sakes.
It's awful. It's terrible.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I mean, it always was an odd look, yes.
How do
but,
you go,
you know,
right, so here's the question.
But when you're 60, you don't dress like that.
Right, but here, right, that's, yes, that is correct.
Yeah. And you know what, maybe had he stayed skinny, okay. But he got fat and wrinkly and old, and it's just not a look.
If you, I don't know how you go back from that look. If you've had that look your whole life, how you, like, what are you just going to show up in khakis and be like, hey guys, like, you know, how
well,
are we doing? Like, you
so,
know what I mean? Like,
you know, you could go,
Oh, look at that picture on the left right there.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He
looks like a bloated Alice Cooper.
Right, exactly.
That's gross,
he looks like,
man.
Alice Cooper's bloated grandmother.
Oh.
So you could go back to the days in, you know, you were without the make. Let's see, where's one? There. No makeup, short hair. You know, there.
Still a little twinkly, you know, looking.
Oh, no. Yeah, there, no doubt about it, but.
Does he have a depressive issue?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the dude's 60-some-odd years old. He's gone through all kinds of stages in his life, so he's been married to the same gal. He married his high school sweetheart.
Oh.
Well, he dated her in high school. They stayed together. They finally married in the late 80s, in 88, after Disintegration came out. And he married Mary Poole and been married to her ever since. I mean, they've been together since high school.
Who was your high school sweetheart?
I didn't really have one, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I didn't. I had a crush.
Yeah.
In high school, but I didn't really date much.
Tammy was mine.
Yeah.
That fucking trash bag whore. But the thing is, you know, there was Tammy and then there were 50 other girls or whatever. Like, it was never just, like, she was the girl. Like, so there have been 5 proper girlfriends in my life, even going back to the days when I was really young, but like a billion girls, but 5 proper girlfriends. They have a club where they have voodoo dolls.
I bet.
Yeah. Every girl who ever left me before I was 38 years old was 100% right. And I mean, brother, I'm telling you, like I always say, you know, someone who's been married and divorced three times, they're the problem.
Yeah.
Because they're the common denominator. And I'm telling you, every girl who quit talking to me, quit hanging out with me, broke up with me before I was 38 years old, every girl was 100% right. Jennifer and Kylie, I wish them zero happiness. In fact, if I saw Jennifer, it's been coming up on 10 years.
Yeah.
If I saw Jennifer tomorrow, 50-50, I'd punch her in the face.
Yeah, I know. That one fucking broke your heart.
But you know what? It ended up being the same with her as it was with Kylie. I was hurt for a couple of days. I was mad for a couple of days.
Well, yeah, because...
And then I...
Because you're you. That's how you're going to... You're not going to just be morose about it for the rest of your life and let it fucking eat you away. That's how you are. But the sting is always going to be there. You know?
They were wrong.
Yeah.
And Kylie would have the nerve to call herself liberal and open-minded. and you know, open-minded. Do it. Push it out.
Push that out, there's solids. There's a turd.
Yeah.
There's a turd burgling that fucking...
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
If we know, you know, like the day we record our last show, if we know it's our last show,
we shit our pants.
We both shit our pants.
Boy, you're home.
Sorry, we can go somewhere and do
studio.
It. I don't give a shit. Yeah.
You're home. I'm not. I have to drive home like that.
Well, all right. Let's meet in a neutral location. Somewhere between our two places. So we both got to sit in it.
Public bathroom.
Well, again?
Gas station bathroom.
Again? How often do you want to have this
airport
meeting?
Bathroom.
Tap you on the side of that stall, Senator. We'll get something
That's
going.
Right. Knock three times on the ceiling, baby.
Who was that fucking senator? Was that guy that got caught in the Minneapolis airport bathroom cruising for gay sex? He was tapping his foot on the inside of the side of the stall next to him.
I just butchered that, Minnie. Fuck you.
How do you function? And you can't spell anything.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to look at this and type at the same time. Get fucked.
Act like you've been there before, Durant. Jesus Christ. Larry Craig.
Larry Craig.
Yeah, that motherfucker. Now.
Larry Craig scandal marked a Larry Craig laugh fest.
2007.
Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah, but you know what? We were, when we came back, we were talking about it. We came back in 2008.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it. Like, so, 2007, guy is clearly cruising for gay sex in a bathroom in Minneapolis Airport, in a bathroom that had been widely known to be a hotbed of fucking gay male activity. And that, by the way, just tells you how badly dudes got to get rid of that poison. Because they're just like, all right, listen, Minneapolis, concourse, whatever, the bathroom is going to be the hotbed of gay male sex.
This has got to be the concourse and not the terminal. Because you got to be ticketed to be in the terminal.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got to be a...
I just said concourse to say it, but yeah.
Well, no, but you buy a ticket to get into the concourse or to the terminal to get to that restroom just to fuck another dude, or are you traveling like with family or business and go, I think I'm going to go get my either get my nuts sucked or fucking suck some other dude's nuts, fucking nuts sucking motherfuckers,
nutsuckers. It's got to be easily accessible because you can't buy a...
Right, so it's got to be outside of the...
No one's going to buy an airplane ticket to get blown, except for me, last time I went to go see... I traveled to fuck that girl in three states. Oh, yes, I did. And I got to tell you something. Her young body was just peerless. Big, stupid, and I'm not a big tit man, as I'm sure as the world knows by now. But her fucking big, young, dumb tits, man.
Wow.
I have one picture, and I have it still, of her. She's got this kind of...
Mm-hmm.
And she's holding, like, she's got this aqua green bra on or whatever, and the one tit's hanging out. She's holding on to it. And her fucking big, dumb nipples poking out from between her fingers. I still have... It's the background on this computer right now. I love that picture. Oh, man. Yeah, tapping your foot in the bathroom stall is exactly what he did. But he holds a press conference and he goes, hey, you know what? I'm not resigning. It's fine. I didn't do it and it's fine. Nowadays, they'd fucking force you out in 3 seconds. But 2007, they were not trying to... Man. 2007.
Tap my foot in the bathroom because it fucking burns when I pee.
We've all been there, brother. Oh, can we go back to young Robert Smith and this typewriter story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my own fault.
Yeah, you stupid fucking dumbass.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know what? Let's just fucking go to the beginning of listening to
these hucksters. Why would you do that with young Joe McHale?
New this morning, we're bringing you a little taste of nostalgia. Remember those typing apparatuses we used to use well before the computer came along? Something my grandmother was really good at? That would be the good old typewriter. Yeah.
Click, click, click. What?
It's the same process, you fucking dumb coos.
Dumbass.
ABC Action News reporter Vanessa.
I'm telling you.
Yeah?
I would drown her with the amount of cum I'd shoot in her throat. I would mouth fuck that dunce on that show.
I would mouth fuck that dunce.
I would on that show. I would mouth fuck.
Ariza sat down with someone who's trying to bring them back to life, and he is not the person that you would expect.
You know what you do with that girl? Yeah.
No, would you tell us, please?
You gotta have her put her mouth on your balls and hum.
You hum or she hums?
She hums.
She hums.
Yeah.
Certain tune?
Well.
Probably something with some lower bass so you get that good low frequency vibration.
I would hope
right?
It's the Star Spangled Banner. The national anthem.
God bless the USA.
That's right. And my load goes off like fireworks. I get it? It's all part of the same joke. All right.
starts humming like fucking Swing Low Sweet Chariot.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean a real song.
What the hell is that shit?
Oh shit. Starts humming the Camptown Races on your nutsack. Doodah, doodah. It's about the time that you Hamburglar a load right across your fucking
Yeah, I know.
He goes, shut up, buddy.
What? Why are you trying to talk? Talk when it's over. Money's on the dresser, stupid. Beat it.
These are the ones I keep. These are the ones I really, don't want to sell.
Jack Armstrong, maybe 16 years old, but this teen has quite the old soul.
This is one of my favorites to type on. It prints italic characters. Down here is a Fox number 24. This is from the early 1910s. This one over here is very special. This is a green.
Every one of them is very fucking special to you, you flake.
He's... this is a kid who definitely missed out on...
Hormones?
No, I'm saying he definitely missed out on testosterone in the womb, is what I'm telling you. I think you...
That's, yeah. Every one of these fucking keyboards is special to him. Jesus Christ, we
number 24. This is from the early 1910s. This one over here is very special. This is a green Smith Corona flat top from the first year.
His passion for typewriters began at the age of 12.
How does a teenager get into typewriters?
I got drug along to antique malls by my mom, and...
There you go.
She poisoned you.
They were what drew me in.
Listen, here's the question. How does your boyfriend feel about this hobby of yours?
The question. He's only 16. Come on.
He was only 16. Why is
You're
that
16.
Not? Why is that not in the fucking montage? She was only 16. What song is that? And she was too young to know. What's that song?
I'm drawing a complete fucking blank.
We'll play it before we go home. I guarantee you that.
4 years and 180 literary pianos later, Armstrong has created a name for himself across the world.
I do have some typewriters in a museum in Dubai, which I'm very proud of.
Dubai, motherfucker.
Well, Dubai.
Well,
Dubai. Dubai.
Bringing it back around on TGO Radio, Jeff Durant. That's why I
fucking straight.
Hell yeah.
What's on his fucking? How can you work with shit wrapped around your fucking fingers?
It's
he had to dress up for the interview, I guess.
Not something we would know generally, but like that helps when you're jerking a guy off. That helps the sensation he feels. So
how would you know?
You know what? I may have experimented with some.
You have a life that I'm not aware of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I'm some 16-year-old schmuck in Florida.
Oh, you fucking! I beg to differ, son.
That may be the cleanest drop in TGO Radio history.
Some typewriters in a museum in Dubai, which I'm very proud of.
Oh,
I'm just blown away because I'm some 16-year-old schmuck in Florida, and they're like, "Hey, you want to repair our ultra rare typewriter? We'll ship it to you from New Zealand, from Australia, from all over the world."
If you think his old soul solely lies in typewriters, think again. He's also putting work into this classic.
I have a 1972 Volkswagen Beetle that I am in the process of restoring.
Is he bringing John Lennon back from the dead? Beetle, get it?
He only takes Anison. It's like, what are you doing? Like, Doan's pills? Like, what are you talking about?
A thing of Schmeckler's powder up here on the shelf.
That's one of my favorite lines from the history of that show. That really is one of my favorite lines ever.
Schmeckler's powder.
Uh-huh.
Put some Lister's carbolic unguent on a wad of cotton. Put the cotton in your ear. That'll stop them shakes.
No. What she needs is a balsam specific.
Balsam specific? While we're burning money, why don't we give her a curative galvanic belt, too?
Don't forget to give her Schmeckler's powder.
Don't make fun.
Jesus, what a fucking twink.
Don't make fun.
Currently building a new engine for it.
Of course he is. But his first
Of course he is. This fucking faggot.
I am in the process of restoring. I'm currently building a new engine for it.
Of course he is.
Oh, that was so shitty.
Of course. She really is a fucking cunt.
Volkswagen Beetle that I am in the process of restoring. I'm currently building a new engine for it.
Of course he is.
What a cunt.
That's great.
Wow.
But his first love always brings him back to the basics.
He was a boy named Jimmy at camp when he was 10.
That story about his mom dragging him to fucking flea markets is just cover.
Oh, you.
For that fucking. For that year when he was 10 at fucking Christian camp.
He was.
Hey. Counselor Jimmy.
Oh, he was.
They had a special relationship.
Oh, he was juggling that boy's hairless balls like fucking the.
I can't even think of the thing, but.
Oh, shit, is that funny?
I'm currently building a new engine for it.
Of course he is. But his first love always brings him back to the basics.
Yeah, it does.
And his endless search for more.
Ideally, how many would you want?
Well,
are we talking about typewriters?
How many holes do I... Oh, wait a minute. Is that camera still on?
Well, I'm hoping for a throne of boys.
Search for more.
Ideally, how many would you want?
All of them.
See? There you go.
In a year and a half.
A throne of boys, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Jack has been repairing these typewriters and reselling them. He's made about $60,000, but all of that money, it goes right back into his projects. And he doesn't plan on stopping anytime soon. In fact,
he's probably giving it away to, like, the homeless or something.
Fucking jack off. Well, yeah, he's 16. I don't have any fucking bills to pay. Why don't you help pay a fucking mortgage, $60,000 a year? Or whatever.
Ultimate goal is to one day open his own brick and mortar. In Wesley Chapel, Vanessa Ariza, yeah, ABC Action News.
Yeah, that's right. I thought his ultimate goal was to marry Benedict Cumberbatch.
Look at this fucking hump.
I fucking hate him.
If you've been watching the last couple of days, we've been talking about a little yellow area that the Hurricane Center monitored, at one point there was a 30% chance of development, and then down to a 20% chance of development.
Oh, man, looks like...
He looks like... You know what he looks like?
He looks like somebody from fucking Scarface or something.
He looks like he ought to be beating his girlfriend to death outside the Bada Bing. We need a video element, and I'm sorry if you're listening, but that is really accurate.
I fucking said non-filters, you dumb fucking cunt!
I think he ends up beating that. It's one of the harder scenes in that show to watch, and I forget which character it is. But he fucking beats his pregnant girlfriend to death in the road, close to the road outside that strip club, and it's not comfortable to watch. But he ends up beating her to death. Wow.
Okay, how about just random fucking news?
Okay.
Communities across the country and the Bay Area took a stand against police brutality and police misconduct following the death of George Floyd. One Tampa community caught in the middle of the outrage was Tampa's University Mall. And now we're learning about sweeping changes to transform that area for the future. ABC Action News reporter Ryan Smith going in depth tonight with the company driving the $1 billion renovation and those impacted the most.
Well, that is
a couple of more explosions.
We have broken windows and glass.
A night of chaos. To see the city that we love being attacked and burned.
May 31st, 2020.
No, fuck yourself. Your $1 billion renovation. Fuck off.
For Tampa's social justice demonstrations, widespread looting.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Destroyed, stores set on fire.
I had someone on a bicycle ride by and say, hey, you need to shelter in place because they're headed this way.
Pamela Thompson, owner of My Shade and...
Who's they? Tell me who they is. Guess what? It ain't Whitey.
Depends on what station this is. If it's on Fox, it's Antifa. If it's on CNN, it's QAnon people.
You're right.
I mean, depends on what station we're watching this on.
You're so right. All I can tell you about that situation right there, who's robbing the wig store? It ain't Whitey! Period.
Fat black women. God damn it.
I know.
Just robbing the wig store.
Did this sign outside, hoping protesters would...
It's got to give me a free wig.
There's a sign that says black-owned business, and I guarantee the next picture... Is fucking glass everywhere and shit being looted?
Beauty boutique.
Uh-huh.
You're an owner and you want to protect your space as if I was home.
Oof. Thank you, wow.
It's like she had to get told something twice. Doesn't it?
That shit got on. They can't check out a mix and a nap. Holy shit. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
I bet you she didn't burn dinner twice.
She could fly to Australia with that luggage. Jesus Christ.
I don't think she burned dinner a third time. This is what you're telling me? Is that what you're telling me?
Wow. Funny. Maybe you ought to not open a wig store.
Well, I mean,
if I was you had to open at a
Samsonite luggage store. Oh shit!
home, I would be doing the same thing, staying here and doing what I can to protect my space.
The tone of the summer movement shifted that night, and down the street, the University Mall area burned, swarmed with more people.
Was every mall called University Mall back in the 80s? Were they all named University Mall?
Than it had likely seen in years.
University Mall back in the 90s was a place to go. You know, hang out, you see your friends from school, see friends from other schools.
The once bustling center for shopping and socializing, now flanked by empty storefronts, creating the target for the tinderbox ignited in Tampa that night.
And just I wonder what happened. Has,
tell me about the structure of the neighborhood around that mall.
Dwindled away, it's pretty much like a vacant lot.
Yeah. As a result, police reform has dominated discussions in the last year, but we wanted to examine other critical factors within the social justice movement, like economic opportunity or lack thereof, in the places that experienced civil unrest.
Hey, I have a fucking suggestion for that. Quit burning stores down so people can work there, you fucking numbskull dummies.
To obviously dismantle racist systems that keep poor blacks and browns in these underserved communities of color.
I love his album Running on Empty. Blacks.
Holy shit.
Blacks. Blacks.
I'm done. Holy shit.
Oh my god. Holy shit.
Blacks and browns.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my god. Oh. Blacks and browns. Hey, it's just gotta be somebody's baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh. Holy shit.
Oh shit.
I don't know about you, but everybody I know that's white is just filthy, stinking rich.
Yeah. 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 That's just it. All white people are swimming in cash. Being white is like always having $100 in your pocket. Fuck you.
I actually have $100 bill in my wallet. So
now, of course you do, yeah. But you're a fucking millionaire.
It's true. It's so true.
I'd like to interview this woman about the I'll let you have it. I'll just let you have it. I'd like to interview this woman about the epidemic of blacks beating up Asians across the country. Can we talk about that? Okay, no, we can't talk about that.
No, we cannot.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
That experienced civil unrest.
We have to obviously dismantle racist systems that keep poor blacks and browns in the
poor blacks and browns. Yeah. He hasn't had a hit since.
No, he really hasn't had a hit since he punched Daryl Hannah in the face.
That's so funny. That's so funny. I'm so mad too. It's one of those ones that's funny. You're like, how did I fucking miss that?
Serve communities of color.
Dr. Carlene Vincent Robinson with Florida International University is an expert in diversity, equity, and inclusion. She says redeveloping the university area, if it's done right, could mean opportunity for generations.
The problem is when you redevelop it, then everybody screams at this gentrification.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
What the fuck do you want?
I remember when they burned down.
You know,
LA.
You know what it is when they say it's gentrification. You know what they say? We don't want white people living here.
Yeah, right, right. Which is just say that.
Just yes, that's okay. Fine, say that.
SNL does a thing twice a year where Jost and Che write jokes for each other.
Yep.
And I watched one the other day where Colin Jost goes, "The Bat Babe Ruth used to hit his 500th home run is being put up for auction. Also being put up for auction, the bat I used to keep my neighborhood white."
Yes.
And I fucking lost my mind. It's really funny.
We are pulling that up because was that the latest one?
Let me see. There's four or five of them in total. That might be the one.
I think it might be.
God, it's funny. This is one of the, I mean, they're all funny, but this is one of the funnier ones.
I need to look more of these up.
Yeah, they're all funny.
Guys, tonight is the last show of the season. The and Shay and I have decided that our end of the year gifts to each other.
I like these two guys together. I think they're absolutely fucking hilarious.
I got nothing for Colin Jost because he's married to Scarlett Johansson. He can go fuck himself. So.
I know, but you know.
And you know that's my girl.
Look at him, man. He's fucking dashing.
He is. He is dashing. He is a handsome motherfucker. And I gotta say, of the two guys, though, in this bit, Che writes the better jokes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
he's funny.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Each other would once again be jokes.
Yeah. We're making each other read jokes live on air that the other person has never seen before.
And the idea is to keep it fun, light. No one's going to get canceled. No one's families are going to get threatened. You know, have fun.
Sure, we'll see. We'll
see.
That's fine.
An obese monkey in Thailand named Godzilla has been sent to a special facility to lose weight. Official realized the monkey was overweight when a bunch of black guys kept hitting on it.
That's pretty racist, Colin. Las Vegas is opening a pop-up vaccine site in a strip club. And don't worry, the strippers say the vaccine is a lot like Michael Che. Very quick, and you can barely feel it go in.
This is great. The callbacks on this joke are so fucking funny.
I have to tell you, I watched all five of these or whatever, five or six of these the other night, and this string of jokes here is my personal favorite out of all of them.
Warner Brothers is producing a new movie in which Superman is black. And a black Superman actually makes a lot of sense when you remember that Superman was abandoned by his parents as a baby.
So good.
That's so good. There's more.
Well, I knew you'd like that one, so here's another one. Warner Brothers is producing a new movie in which Superman is black. In this version, black Superman's kryptonite is an honest day's work.
Che writes very funny jokes for us. Just really funny jokes.
It's kryptonite is an honest day's work.
Whoa. Whoa. Really doubling down on black Superman. San Diego police are being investigated after video surfaced of them using excessive force on a homeless black man accused of urinating in public. But I say great work keeping our streets clean, boys. Yes, sir. Anything the police do is all right with old Mikey Che.
Oh, Mikey Che.
I know I'm probably the only black man brave enough to say this on live TV. But blue lives matter even more.
So good.
This week, construction began on a new hip-hop museum in the Bronx. And I know that we've had a lot of fun with me reading racist jokes that Michael writes for me. But because our country is already divided enough, I'd like to use my platform to say something that everyone of all races can agree on. Woody Allen is innocent. He did nothing wrong. Before I go, I just thought of another punchline for that black Superman story. Black Superman will be referred to as the Man of Steel, spelled S-T-E-A-L.
Yes! I lost my fucking shit. I lost my shit when that one came out.
I howled. I fucking howled. Look at Che. Look at Michael Che.
I've said this a million times on this show about all kinds. This is my favorite part of comedy. Because comedy is supposed to be fun. When it's too scripted, it's either a movie or it's not meant to be funny. Like with Karnak, with Johnny busted up on his own jokes, with these two making each other laugh. That, to me, you and I sitting here doing this is fucking comedy.
Yeah.
I'm not a good joke writer. You know, it just...
I'm struggling with my Son of Karnak bit that I'm writing, I mentioned.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
God damn.